Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of John records this as the first of the signs. That word can also be used as the chief, the greatest, the principal of his signs. It's from the word arche, where we get architect, the one who creates all things, or archetype, the one from whom all comes. But why this? You would think, especially in the Gospel of John, that maybe the raising of Lazarus would be the greatest of his signs, the raising of the dead. But no, this is the first, it is the chief sign. I'd like you to consider why today. The setting is a wedding. It's near where Christ was raised. It's where Nathanael was from, not my son, Nathanael the disciple. And the setting of a wedding got Christ to thinking. Or it was at least right in front of him. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That which was ordained before the fall into sin, the institution given so that life may abound, so that men and women may live in mercy and love toward one another, that society would live in stability, knowing that though you are different, you complement each other, and you forgive one another and lift each other up. That's the setting. But that's not the odd part. I think we could make the jump from a wedding to creation, to God coming and restoring us in the seed of the woman. But that's not the miracle. He's not asked to bless the married couple. He's not asked to give a wedding toast or anything like that. The miracle is changing the water into wine. Now, if you look at the miracles of Christ recorded in the Gospels, the miracles are healing, driving out of demons, raising the dead. And there's a couple that are a little bit odd, like Jesus cursing the fig tree, or Jesus sending Peter to get the tax from a fish in the lake. And there's this one, where he changes water into wine. It is not useful. It does not take care of anyone. It does not heal anyone, and it certainly doesn't raise any dead. Why is this so great? Why is this the first sign? Wine is unnecessary for life. Wine is extra. Wine is used for celebration and joy. In no way was it necessary, and it still isn't. Water, right? Well, that's rather necessary, isn't it? It's throughout Scripture used to provide life, to cleanse. But wine is always, always extra. And yet that is what the Lord Jesus makes. And not just one, but over 100 gallons of it for this wedding feast. He goes overboard blessing this wedding, changing this water into wine. But when his mother asks him, they have no wine. Or she doesn't actually ask him, does she? She just says, they have no wine. For some reason, that reminds him of his hour. The time of his suffering and death for the forgiveness of all people. So you have a wedding, you have them out of wine, you have these huge jars of purification, and a celebration that had been going on for 3 days. All of that called to mind his hour, that he was going to die for the people. Because he doesn't even address his mother as his mother. He takes it, he addresses her as woman. Not as a, it's not an insult. It's not speaking down to her, but what she has said to him reminds him and calls to mind that he is God and Savior and Redeemer and not just her son. But the only other time that he uses this phrase, or the other time, is at the cross itself. When he again is speaking to Mary, his mother, and says, woman, behold your son, speaking to John. And John beholds your mother. There he leaves his mother and father to cleave, to hold fast to his wife, and to become one flesh with her. For it is on the cross that our Lord becomes the groom, the bridegroom of the church. This is a mystery. It's something that is revealed and we can't fully understand. But that's the connection. The wedding at Cana points him to the wedding of himself with the people of the world. Paul's talked about it like this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So there you have that water jars of purification, reminding him of what he's going to do on the cross. He's going to cleanse the world of sin. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. It is this mystery that is called to mind at the wedding at Cana. Even the wine looks ahead. It looks ahead to the vow that our Lord Christ makes to his people. For what did he do on the night when he was betrayed? He took bread, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, the blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. What is he doing there but making a vow? This is the blood of the covenant, of the vow that he has made to his people, Israel, to you, to be your groom, to be the one who cleanses you, the one who stands by you and holds fast to you, the one who is one body with you, so that when you come to the Lord's Supper, he is renewing his vows to you. He is showing you again that he is your husband, your Lord, your Savior, and that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. Do you see how this miracle at the wedding, changing the water into wine, is what all of the miracles are about? The healing, the restoration of creation, the raising of the dead, defeating death, the driving out of demons, defeating Satan, feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, overabundance of life. All of that is pointing to what he accomplishes on the cross. All of them spiral down to the cross. Because at the cross, he accomplishes that which he is just giving hints at. He accomplishes the new creation, the restoration of your body and soul. And he sets a sign in eternity to which you can turn and know how God loves you and what he thinks of you. And that is why he has given us the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of his holy body and blood, so that you have a sign, a miracle before your very eyes and in your mouth to know this is Christ, the one who sanctifies you, who has shed his blood for you, who will never leave you nor forsake you, who will hold fast to you till your dying day, who will love you and recall you and bring you home. This is Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And that is what Epiphany is all about, revealing your Lord. And that's why this is the greatest, the chief, the principal sign. It's about the death and resurrection of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.